Hi, I'm Phil Bliss, a business visionary. Welcome to Stop, Think, Focus, Execute. Today, we're in prosperous Raleigh, Durham, and I'm interviewing Jim Antony, CEO of Colliers International, Raleigh, Durham. But Jim, why don't you tell people just a little bit about Jim Antony, CEO, Colliers International?
Well, I was actually born in the South, but raised in the North. I moved back to the South to go to college. Went to Duke and then Los Angeles to get an MBA at University of Southern California. Started my career there, moved back here, and grew a business. And we're still growing. Commercial real estate from coast to coast. Mm-hmm. That's from LA to up and down the East Coast as well.
So let's talk about some stop think times that maybe directed you into the real estate sector.
I'm a big believer in this notion that there are critical intersections that we arrive at in life where we will have meetings with people of destiny that actually cause life change that is revolutionary. Mm-hmm. So one of those happened to me when I was in Los Angeles, when I was working with a youth group. And one of the leaders in this church said, "So what is your plan for making a living?" And I said, well, I have no idea. I've got an MBA and I'm looking for a job. And he said, "You strike me as somebody who'd be really good at commercial real estate." And I said, "What's that?" And he said, "Let me introduce you to somebody." That somebody then introduced me to the company that I ultimately went to work for, Grubb & Ellis in the San Fernando Valley. Those meetings are not by chance. And that was exactly how I got in the business. I knew nothing about it. I got baptized in fire in Southern California, and then 4 years later found myself in Raleigh.
What brought you back from bustling Southern California?
Yes.
To North Carolina?
I had a lot of family here. My father's family is from North Carolina. So I decided that I would come to Raleigh and visit with my uncle, Earl Johnson, who introduced me to all the major players in the business here, and I was fortunate to get a couple of job offers right away, mm-hmm. and so we moved very quickly here in 1983.
So when did you reach that point that said,
entrepreneurial bugs biting
what am I doing here?
Mm-hmm. I want to do something different.
Yeah.
That is a longer story than we probably have time for. However, I'll say that I'd just been a broker before, and there's nothing wrong with just being a broker, but I wanted to do more than brokerage. I wanted to develop. I wanted the experience of building a building and taking something from a piece of dirt to a finished building and putting a tenant in. And so I had the opportunity to do that, really enjoyed that. And so I built a brokerage company that was a boutique shop called Antony & Company. At the same time, I was building another business, which was investment and development services, mm-hmm. on a small scale.
So you're running two businesses.
Yep.
You're still fairly young, not that you're old now, Jim, but what were the stop and think points of that?
There was a restlessness about being involved more directly in ownership and operation of real estate for myself rather than just for others, as well as a belief that I could develop a boutique that could deliver services in a more effective way than I was able to in my previous location. So that restlessness was actually what led to change. Mm-hmm. It caused me to stop and think, all right, what's path A going to do for me?
Right.
And is there a path B that I could blaze for myself that would work better? And I opted for plan B.
You stopped. You said, I'm out here.
Right.
You knew there was change coming.
Yes.
Where was the focus?
And we just built it the old-fashioned way, one person at a time, mm-hmm. to build the service business.
You know, we talked a bit about culture, which is such an important part of your organization. Was that cultural thing happening then?
It was, although it was limited because I had such a tiny staff. It was me and one other person.
We all know that a great team read a great culture is so important in the execution phase.
Right.
So I was just wondering when you...
I think when I got to about four or five people, I realized there's something here that is going to require some shaping. And as we continue to grow this business, I have to be very intentional about the culture of the business, mm-hmm. the values of the business. You know, the traditional stuff that we all hear about creating business plans, we were doing that, but there's not enough time spent talking about is what's going to be the values and culture of the company. When you're talking about forming the DNA of a business, I'm convinced that that's the most important element now mm-hmm. in retrospect. And I was not as focused on that initially because I was fortunate to be able to handpick the people that were working with me and we shared values. But as we got larger, we doubled in size. And during that period, I was paying less attention to the cultural values basis of our company and focused more on just execution. And that was a mistake. In time, over the course of the next 3 or 4 years, as the organization grew and I delegated authority, I had sort of let the culture and values piece become diluted and less within my control. And I realized that that was going to hurt us long term, that we were introducing people in the organization who did not share our core values or our vision, and that the visionary really has to be highly intentional about communicating his core values or hers and to be sure that people stay on track with that. I'm convinced this is one of the reasons so many organizations die is that the founders stop perpetuating and inculcating their vision and values.
You know, stop, think, focus, execute never goes away.
Correct.
It's something you got to face every day. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering, you know, what dramas that have brought you up here to say, whoa, you know, stop, this is not right.
I had some challenges that really began to crystallize where we experienced significant growth again.
Yeah.
And that came with some people challenges that, again, were related to values and culture and my communication style, my leadership style got less engaged as I got busier with projects. And that made me a less effective executive. Mm-hmm. I was not a leader that people could reliably expect to lead. Mm-hmm. We got off track. Fortunately, we were able to get things back together by bringing some good people on board.
You obviously were stalled.
Right.
What made you decide that bringing on new people was the solution? I mean, that's the think part of it, you know.
Right. That point, I realized I needed a higher quality team that I could delegate to. I was trying to be all things to all people, and that was a recipe for disaster and burnout.
It's a problem for a lot of entrepreneurs.
yeah, they don't tell you about that when yeah. you're setting it up. Right? So those key individuals who came and helped build the organization were instrumental in getting us to where we are today. And then I hit another roadblock that forced me to stop and radically rethink my life. And the first of those was quite personal, and that was the recognition that my marriage was failing. That was one of those moments that nobody ever anticipates. But now that it's a few years behind me, it's actually resulted in incredibly positive changes for everybody who was involved.
That's a tough stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very.
What was the other drama that you've met and overcome in the last decade?
In the mid-2000s, real estate was on a major run in the United States, and it seemed like nothing was going to stop the appreciation of real estate. Until it did. And it stopped.
I think we all heard about that.
It stopped in a hurry and in a big way. And I had several projects that completely failed. I mean, just major financial debacles for me. And in 25 years of investing, I'd never had anything like this happen to me before. It humbled me incredibly, forced me to my knees, and caused me to rethink how I was going to do business going forward.
So what was the shift in focus? Because, I mean, obviously you stopped in your tracks, it sounds like.
Right.
You know, what was the thought and the focus side of it that they actually got you to, you know, a pretty good level now?
The realization that I needed to get out of debt and I needed to do it quickly. And my bankers were going to make sure that that happened was a major part of the process. So I had some help in making the
decision. Focus.
That's right. Laser focus after a bunch of bankers call you up. Yeah. And at the end of the day, cleaning up my financial life and enabled me to move forward more aggressively with growth strategies for the core business, as well as real estate investing and developing strategy in our secondary business.
Some of your experiences, I can imagine, were pretty scary at the time. In terms of Stop, Think, Focus, Execute, going through those four steps, are there times where you haven't stopped or you haven't thought enough, you've broken the chain where it's collapsed?
Right.
I'm just curious on that.
Okay, so my first statement is those who say that they have no regrets in life and they do everything the same are lying. Secondly, I'm learning the discipline of pulling away from my work, which feels like, boy, I'm going to kill myself. If I don't do all this stuff, this giant pile in front of me, I'm going to die. The business is going to die. No, that's why you have to pull away from it, is because you're so immersed in that crap that you got to get away from it to see the big picture.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't slow down and stop, then you can't do the pivot.
Correct.
You can't avoid the bad deals.
That's right. So it's a lifestyle to begin to learn that process of full-on engagement, get in the weeds, slug it out with your front lines, but then go back, retreat, recover, you know, review, and reconsider all that needs to be done. There's a rhythm to it that I think is important to achieve.
4 hours, that's as good as Stop, Think, Focus, Execute. I like that. I like that.
Thank you. I'll patent it before you do.
Jim, thank you very much. Really great insights for our viewers.
Well, thank you for the honor of being part of your project and having an opportunity to speak about things that are really important to me and to all people, I think, who are serious about success in life.
Really appreciate the insights, and I'm sure our viewers do. And thank you for watching. I want you to stop, think, focus, and execute. I'm Philip Bliss. Slow down, think.